Did love lift you up today? All right. When you came in this morning, did you shout for joy on the way? Were you serving the Lord in your hearts along the way? Are you learning to know God along the way? And before you entered the house of God, before you entered those gates, were you giving Him praise and thanksgiving along the way? I hope you were. You know, one of the greatest things that I hear amongst some of the brethren here is that they're so excited and filled with joy to be here among the saints to worship God in spirit and truth. And that's because they're building up every Lord's Day and preparing to be there on the way. And that makes it so much better when we get here. We can be thankful to Him and bless Him for His mercy, His everlasting love, and that His truth that endures from generation to generation. I'm thankful for all the visitors that we have today. I echo that along with Andy and the rest, and also for those who are with us today that weren't here last week due to illnesses. And I'm thankful that they made it in and they're feeling better and that we can come together and worship God as we do. I'm going to continue in the book of Philemon here. And last week, if you remember, I do need my notes. Last week, if you remember, we began talking in the very first verse of Philemon about Paul, who was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And I don't see my notes. That could be a problem. But Paul was a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and we made it very clear that there are two kinds of prisoners in this world. There's the prisoner that we think of in terms of somebody that's a prisoner of the devil. We talked about Amanda Berry and her experience of being a prisoner of that Ariel Castro and how she... can you check the office and my office? But anyway, she was a prisoner and she got to the place where she was numbed, she said, by that situation. And the sad part is that, she ended up asking him for a hug. Can you imagine that? She asked him for a hug. And the very, very sad thing that goes on there is that she became such, thank you, but such the prisoner that she hugged the devil. Then there's the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talk about that a little bit and how important it was to come to Jesus. You know, when you come to Jesus and you become His, the walls of Satan, his prison, just crumble down around you. It's kind of an allegory for what took place in Jericho in Joshua chapter 6. If you remember that in verse 16, they were to shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And when we become prisoners of Jesus, we shout and we're excited and filled with joy. And the Lord causes that wall of the devil to tumble down around us and it falls flat just like them wall in Jericho. And that's what happens when you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've gone over to the other side. No longer a prisoner of the devil. But you got to remember that Satan is determined. Just because you're no longer his doesn't mean he's not trying to get at you. And so because of that, because you've obeyed from the heart, because you've been set free and you became slaves to righteousness, Romans chapter 6 and verses 17 and 18, the devil still wants to get you. And so we think of the idea that we're serving a Lord that has already crushed the head of that devil. He's already done that. He's already defeated. And as hard as the devil tries, he knows he's already defeated. The captain of our salvation has done that for us. And he's delivered us into the kingdom of his dear, of the Son of God, has delivered us into the kingdom that one day will be delivered to God. And so the reality is that we're victorious in Christ Jesus. We need to fight the good fight. We need to lay hold of the faith and we need to live for eternal life yet to come, as Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 12. We're prisoners of God. Well, in today's lesson, we want to continue in this little book of Philemon and talk about the love and the faith that changed things in us. It changed things in Paul. It changed things in Philemon. It changed things in his family. It changed things in Onesimus. It is an amazing truth that changes everything. And so we want to be able to address that today. In today's letter, you think about Paul. He wrote, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. Do you say prayers every day? I think most all of us do. And when you say those prayers, you mention the saints in your prayers, your family in your prayers, loved ones in your prayers. I know I have a list that I pray for every preacher I've ever met because I know they need my prayers. And when you do that, what a wonderful thing it is from Paul. Many of his letters, he opens up with that I without ceasing, I make mention of you in my prayers. And you think about that. He thanks God. Now, would Paul be thanking God if Philemon were a horrible taskmaster? If he was just a crude and crass individual? Paul wouldn't be praying for him. So we know from this prayer that Philemon and Apphia and Archippus and those saints there are people who are living and walking in the light. And that's kind of a setup for what we're going to study. He thanked God that he was faithful. And we can see from this little letter that Philemon was a brother in Christ whose love and faithfulness could be seen. In verse 5, it tells us that. It's something that was effective and it was something that was visible and could be seen. And so today I want to spend a little bit of time in our primary lesson again, verses 4 through 7, seeing the power of faith and love. Think about that. The power of faith and love. Notice first that Paul thanked God for that in Philemon. See what he says there. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. Verse 5, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Love and faith. Toward Jesus. You think of John, turn to the book of John chapter 8 with me, please. And we just want to illustrate this a little bit, this love toward Jesus. In John chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, we'll read verse 1 through 11. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. And so they continued to ask him. And he raised himself up and he said, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And he again stooped down and wrote on the ground. And then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, being the oldest even to the last, beginning with the oldest even. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And now when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are you those accusers of yours? No one has condemned you. She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And I want you to get this image. You know, Jesus is sitting there teaching, and it says that the scribes and the Pharisees brought this woman caught in the act, the very act of adultery. And you know their righteous indignation and how that would have made them well up with anger and frustration. And they, when it says that they took her and they set her in the midst of Jesus, listen, they drug her over there. They didn't just, here, ma'am, come along with us and sit down. Can you imagine that scene? They drug her there. They were angry. They were ready to stone her to death. They wanted to keep the commandments of Moses. They hated that very thing that she was doing. And in fact, I believe they hated her. And they put her there. They didn't just set her down. They drug her over there, crossed her flat on the ground in front of Jesus. There she is, a woman caught in adultery. We're supposed to, what are you going to do? Trying to catch him, right? They want him to break the law. Well, Jesus wasn't about to be tricked, was he? Jesus, probably welling up with great love for this poor soul, he looks at her. She looks in his eyes. And you think of that moment. He's drawing in the sand now. And he gets up. The people want to know what this master is going to do, what this Jesus is going to do. They want him to say, oh, just let her go, break the law. But in his wisdom, he looks at them, and those of you who are without sin, you cast that first stone. And it convicted them. He didn't have to do anything except give them the truth. And then they walked away. Now it's just Jesus and this woman alone here. And she's on that ground. She's probably bloodied and dirty and just in terrible fear. And she's looking up into the eyes of the Lord Jesus. Look with her today into the eyes of that love, that great love that cared so much for her soul. And Jesus says to her, where are your accusers? Where are your accusers? She says, no one has condemned you. Certainly he was speaking of himself. And then he says, neither do I condemn you. And he says, go and sin no more. Can you imagine that love? That just immense love coming from the eyes of Jesus, and she's looking up at him and she hears those words, neither do I condemn you. The God that came down from heaven, the God that created everything, the God who did all the miracles, signs, and wonders, had grand compassion on the lepers and those who were blind and sick and those who had issues of blood, and those who died, he raised from the dead. The great love of God is seen there. And when we look at the text that we have here in Philemon, he says, hearing of your loves, talking about Philemon, your love and faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus. Towards the Lord Jesus. That love that he had, Philemon, towards the Lord Jesus is what saves him. Because when you love Jesus, you're not going to say, no. You're going to say, yes, yes, Lord. We need to be thinking about that woman and how she looked up in his eyes, and she had to have seen that immense love, that peace that surpasses all understanding, that mercy, that grace. And then she began to understand. And she looked up and she saw that love that she would have had towards Jesus. Opened her eyes. You know, if you just take a minute and just think about that scene and just try to imagine that in your own mind, in your own spirit, in your own soul, and get a glimpse of God's great love. Yes, God so loved the world. Yes, he gave his only begotten Son. And yes, he loves every one of us. And when we look back up at Jesus and we look at Jesus with that kind of love, then we walk in the light as He's in the light. And we do the things that are good and pleasing and acceptable in His sight. Love and faith changes us. And that love towards Jesus changes us. God's love inspires us. It motivates us to follow in His footsteps, to follow the way that leads to everlasting life. And it doesn't stop there with Jesus, because Paul said that he prayed about that love that Philemon had towards Jesus and also towards all the saints. You see, he had love not only for the Lord Jesus, but for His people, for all the saints that were there in that city in Colossae, all of those people, all those who, and listen, this letter, if you look at verse 2, the end of verse 1 and 2, he says this letter is written to four people, four groups, if you will. To Philemon, a beloved friend, a fellow laborer. To the beloved Apphia, which many people think was Philemon's wife. And Archippus, many people think he was the son of Philemon, and he's a fellow soldier. He was a fellow soldier. You look at Colossians chapter 4:17, Paul refers to this man as a fellow minister in the gospel. And the fourth is the church in your house. Remember, his love up towards Jesus compelled him to do things like have a church in his house. Listen, that's not the big deal today, is it? If the tornado came and knocked down the building, wouldn't we find somebody's house to meet in? And that we'd have probably 7 or 8 people here in the congregation that have houses big enough. We could meet somewhere. Somebody would say, come meet in my house. But back then, meeting in the house meant that you were noticeable. And you were going to be persecuted. They were out trying to kill the Christians. Letting somebody meet in your house could put you in jeopardy. But his focus was on the love of Jesus and toward all the saints. You know, when you think of that, he was hospitable, verse 22 of the same book. And when you go a little bit further, Paul expected Philemon to count him as a partner, verse 17. This is the kind of character that he had because, and this is the thing that moved him to have such great love. The good things that were in Philemon are truly in many of us today. The good brethren here sharing in his faith caused something to happen to the saints. When we share our faith together, something happens to the saints. Something that we all need happens. Something every one of them needed then, something every one of us needs now. In verse 6, that the sharing of your faith becomes effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you, in Christ Jesus. Every good thing. Therefore, and it says, for we have great joy in verse 7. That's something that is a result of all these good things that are in him. And we have great consolation in your love. You know, that consolation means comfort. It's the same kind of comfort that God offers through the Spirit, through Christ, through the love of God. Come unto me, all ye that are heavily laden, and I will give you rest, Jesus said. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest for your souls. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28-29. We think of comfort means relief. It means support. And that's what they're getting from Philemon when his love is toward all the saints. It changes them. The love that we have for one another builds one another up. It lifts one another up there in verse 7. Hearts are refreshed by the love. What are the benefits here? Because he says, acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you, and it causes all these things to happen. Jesus said that because of the love, the world will know you're my disciples. When we love one another, John chapter 13, verse 35, when you love one another, the world's going to know you're my disciples. When we consider one another, it stirs up love and good works. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. There is no duty laid upon the children of God in more keeping with the mind of the Lord and more expressive of Christianity than love itself. The duty that will reclaim the backslider, lift up the weak, and encourage those that are poor in the spirit. The work of the church can't be accomplished without this kind of love. And he had love and faith toward all the saints, mimicking God, being just like God. Listen to me. Brotherly love expresses itself, and it can't be concealed. It's like that light. It's up on a hill or on a table for everybody to enjoy and everybody to receive. Brotherly love cannot be concealed. It's like the words of the Apostle Paul in verse 6. It says it becomes effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you. And I want you to know that in the original language it says in us. So all of you. It's referring to the good things that are in us in Christ. Romans 12 and 10. 16:16, greet one another with a holy kiss. The affectionate greetings that we have together as Christians. Helping in a time of need is something that is seen. The Good Samaritan, he was moved with compassion when he saw that man who had a need. He was beaten and left to die. And he ministered to his need. Love compels us to pray for one another, just like Paul does here. Brotherly love can be shown by taking a brother's need to God in prayer. Encouraging one another is something that's in us because of the love of Christ. To encourage one another, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. To bear one another's burdens. To be a Barnabas, a son of consolation, a son of encouragement. Acts chapter 4 and verse 36. These are things that are within us. We can lift the burdens of our brothers and encourage with encouraging words, with telephone calls, with in many other ways because of brotherly love. And we can try to restore the fallen there in verse 10 and in 11 of this same book. I appeal to you, he says, for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable. He says, I'm sending him back. He's changed. The hospitality that you read about in verse 22, Paul wants him to prepare a room for him when he comes. Forgiveness. Again, verse 16. No longer a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother. Those are the things that are in us to do for the love of the saints and our love for Christ. Love indeed will cover a multitude of sins because we realize that God's love lifts us up. it fills us up, then we want to love others with that same unconditional love that he loved us first with. You know, love inspires us to serve selflessly, to reach higher, to become more than we are, to become changed so that we can bring God glory. But when we think about this, the greatest joy and consolation that takes hold when you obey the gospel is that changes everything. When you obey the gospel, life changes. When you obey the gospel, love takes over. When you obey the gospel, you become a child of God. Contentions, internal debates, arguments against the truth, things that we have within, things that we can never win, arguments we could never win, they all go away when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Knowing that I'm not going to be punished. And so many people have that idea that when you love them so much that you tell them about Jesus, why are you shoving that down my throat? Why are you pushing that on me? Why are you pressing me? Because of love. It's the people that love you the most that tell you about the love of Christ, that want you to obey the gospel of Christ, that want you to be baptized for the remission of sins. That's what love is. What do you end up with when you obey the gospel? You end up with love, fruit of the Spirit. Joy, fruit of the Spirit. Peace, fruit of the Spirit. If you've not obeyed the gospel of Christ, none of these things are yours. You can't love Jesus if you don't obey him. You can't love the saints here if you don't obey Jesus, if you don't love him first. And you're outside of the body of Christ, and you can't look up and have that peace that surpasses all understanding, knowing one day that you'll go to heaven and see the face of God. Think about what Paul is saying when he makes mention of them always in his prayers. Because of their love towards Jesus first, that compels them to obey the Master. Because of their love for the saints then afterward, that compels them to assemble like this, that it compels them to notice when somebody's missing, that compels them to be encouragement and lifting towards those who need it. Without that, you're all alone. Without God in the world. If you've not obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a song of invitation, number 644. That song is entitled Zion's Call. The Lord is calling you this very day. And if you've been fallen in some way from the faith, the Lord is calling you this very day. So we invite you, if you have need whatsoever, to come forward and sit in one of these front pews as we sing the song of invitation.